grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this exciting 316th episode of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Chris Jordan, your host here, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, once again, because, well, you know, the Rona and all that kind of good stuff. So we are going to be having a great episode this evening. We will be having Patricia Eltinge, dream worker, as well as a transactional analyst. We'll get into what a transactional analyst is, but I think it's really important to understand this concept of psychology whenever you go into understanding dream work. So it's going to be super fun. It's going to be super great. We'll be talking with her about her great book, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself, officially available in the Dudes and Beer bookstore. You can stop on by dudesandbeer.com. That is where you can find everything that we're talking about tonight. The Dudes and Beer bookstore has all kinds of great stuff from guests. Everything from books to videos, everything that you want, including our guest book this evening, The Dream Class. Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. So we will be getting into that and more this evening. While you're online, please do make sure to stop on by the Dudes and Beer Facebook group. Follow the page, of course, the Dudes and Beer Facebook page. That's where you can get all of the updates about shows, guests, reserve your spot for our live streams, all that kind of good stuff. Our Dudes and Beer group is, of course, where you can find all of the great news that we cover here. And speaking of which, it's time for our Dudes and Beer News of the Week segment. There was some wild stuff that I posted there from YouTube today, talking about self-assembling wires, a high voltage project that was put out from, Cornell University. Absolutely mind-blowing stuff where small, micro-sized ball bearings assemble themselves into a living circuit, according to the voltage given them. A man was arrested at Disney World Resort in Florida after refusing his temperature check. I spent $15,000, the man said. Disney said. We said, wear a mask when you spend all that money. And you didn't. So there you have it. NASA's tiny helicopter is the first to capture a color photo on Mars. Absolutely beautiful imagery there from Gizmodo.com covering that. CNBC saying the U.S. is considering joining a boycott of the 2022 Beijing Olympics. I would kind of hope so. I know that our good president said that we have some, quote, cultural differences with the good people in China. But, well, when the U.N. sent inspectors over, they literally showed the fact that, yes, they were actively selling human organs from people that they harvested. Wild stuff. Michio Kaku has come out and said, reaching out to aliens is a terrible idea. This was the same concept put out and proposed, of course, by Stephen Hawking many, many years ago, that anybody that we would be communicating with would be far superior to us. So perhaps we should think twice or three or four times before doing that. And some of the wild news that came off of Talking Sound, or not off of Talking Sound, but off of Dudes and Beer this week, I am bringing up the gentleman's profile right now, if I can. Here we go. We frequently talk about the concept of targeted individuals on this show, and I know that it is a concept that might be foreign to a lot of people, the idea that people are targeted for electronic harassment. But this is a topic that has come up all too often in our country, in our society. When you start looking at the good ambassadors from China and Cuba, not only U.S. ambassadors, but Canadian ambassadors that were all put under gag order after being the target of sonic weapons. One of our latest mass shooters, Jeff Ely out of Vermont, was actively a targeted individual himself. And it's interesting because his whole timeline is really about monster trucking. The dude is like a full on monster trucker and stuff like that right up until March 14th when he makes the mysterious post, remote neural monitoring, extra low frequency, mind controlled, targeted individual. This sounds crazy, but it's real. I'm sure nobody will even see this. But if you go look it up, it's crazy. Here in just a second, trigger warning, folks. We will be playing some of the last moments of Jeff's life. And the reason is, I think it's important for people to understand the stress through which these people go. And these posts were made by him not that long ago, all of a couple weeks. And within a couple of weeks, things got so bad for him with this that he snapped. And the audio here is jarring, folks. It's heavy stuff. But I think before we talk about dream work, before we talk about, once again, the vibration that we put out into the world, especially during this time of COVID, I think it's really important for us to understand this concept of common empathy that we are lacking, and the idea that when somebody says these things, we tend to laugh at them instead of maybe taking them seriously to begin with. And the last few mass shooters that we've had, people have literally been like, they were absolutely normal and then just snapped. So it's interesting. And let's take a listen to this couple of minutes real quick of Jeff Ely in his storage building where he spent his last few moments before a police raid took his life on April 1st.
Go f*** yourself. You're full of shit. You're the one that did it. Don't f*** lie to me. You think I'm that f***ing stupid?
I hear you. Alright, let's go and fuck this up. Trust me, man. I'm here to help. I don't know you right now, but if you give me that phone, I'll be able to help you.
And note that part where he says, give me that phone and I can help you.
Alright. Where are you,
Well, listen to me, Jeff.
Where are you? Answer that. Where the f*** are you?
Jeff, I can't hear you.
Where the f*** are you,
d*****bag? Jeff, what kind of phone do you have?
Where are you, d*****bag? Stop harassing me!
And that was the first shot fired by Jeff. And here is the part that I think so many people in this situation can identify with.
Keep going and going and going until you push people over the f***ing edge.
And that is quite literally where Jeff Ely of Vermont stopped streaming. This was all live streamed to his Facebook page.
Go f*** yourself.
It ends right here.
Shit. You're the one that did it. Don't f*** lie to me. You think I'm that f***ing stupid?
I hear you.
Pretty stirring audio there. And to know that this is the situation of so many people right now, to know that this is the mindset that so many people in the targeted individual community come to. sadly, where they literally have come to a point of almost madness due to, be it footsteps in their house, things being moved, things being broken into. I was on the phone earlier today with John Hall and sent him this audio, and we chatted back and forth numerous times. He was on Clive Lewis talking about it last night. He'll be coming on very, very soon to talk about these things once again with us, as he is prone to do. John Hall, I want to thank you so much for getting us involved in the targeted individual community and helping make that one of the real keystones of the missions of Dudes and Beer, to expose the world to this issue, to let them know this is not an issue of crazy people. This is an issue that happens to people straight up overnight sometimes, like it did to Mr. Ely, where in a matter of weeks, driven to the point of madness. Why? How? This is what we need to find out. So thank you very much for streaming that. Like, I hate saying that, but thank you for that window into things, Mr. Ely. And I hope that instead of scaring people away from this issue, this brings the issue more to the surface and really highlights this issue in our society. Right after this upcoming commercial break, we will be talking with Patricia Eltinge, dream worker and transactional analyst, about her book, The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. Please do not forget that we are officially, of course, brought to you by Podcast Cadet, whose intro you embarrassingly heard coming through a second ago. But we have also just started working with our good friends at True Hemp Science. Stop on by today. TrueHempScience.com is the website. Dudes7 is the code that you want to use to save 7% off your order of $50 and get a free 50-gram edible cookie or brownie. I have been using True Hemp Science for 2 years myself. I would never, ever, ever advertise anything that I do not personally use. You guys know that. Otherwise, I'd be getting squatty potty money, you know. But it's some of the best stuff I've had. I've traveled the country, worked in all kinds of places, and in most places that are recreational, I go visit the shop, you know, and have myself an evening of fun, what have you. But I always get some CBD because my doctor has prescribed it to me as one of my recommended dosages for my anxiety daily. And I ran across Chris, the owner of True Hemp Science, a couple years ago at a local farmer's market, and he's now got a shop here in town. If you're in Austin, Texas, the corner of Mary and First Street is where it's at. Absolutely phenomenal. I've been using their gummies. Their gummies are off the chain. Each one is 25 milligrams. Little like, you know, burr off your day. I'm a fan of the CBD toothpicks that they have. You know, if you're one of those nervous Nellies like me that chews bubblegum, taps pencils, moves your leg all day, a toothpick is a great thing to kind of keep that in check. And hey, one coated with CBD is even better. They also have true emulsification. All of their stuff is whole plant extract. Absolutely awesome. So you get the full medical benefits of the hemp itself. Stop on by. TrueHempScience.com is the website. Dude7 is your code to save 7% off your total purchase of $50 or more and get those free gummies. So stop on by. Check that out, everybody. When we get back from this official commercial from our sponsor, Podcast Cadet, we will be talking with our guest this evening, Patricia Eltinge, right after this. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet Audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code DUDES20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com. And, of course, full disclosure, folks, I, Chris Jordan, am one of the owners of PodcastCadet.com, as well as one of the founders, and the whole reason we did that was because, well, my years in broadcast, working with musicians, working with artists, all kinds of stuff. I've met all kinds of people, from branding to social media to even being producer, stuff like that, and I just saw people that got really bad advice. And some of those people were my friends. So we banded together and we came up with PodcastCadet.com to be able to help people navigate their way through those stormy waters that are podcasting, that is the world of podcasting. There are so many working gears on that machine to make sure oiled when you start off, to make sure you start off right. So stop on by, check that out. PodcastCadet.com is the website. Dudes20 is the code that you want to use to save 20% off your whole cart. Our guest today, so happy to have her on. She is a dream worker. She is a transactional analyst, and she is the author of The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. Fantastic stuff. We talk about dream work all the time on this show. I am so, so, so happy to have you on. Welcome to the show this evening, Patricia. How are you today?
I'm great, and I'm really happy to be here with you, all of you.
Absolutely. I am so excited about this because, as I told you in our pre-show conversation, dream work is something that is near and dear to my heart. I myself
happy
have...
Happy to hear that.
I've been trying to get back to the point of that. Because as we said in our pre-show, it is an exercise. Our brain is a muscle, no different than anything else. You got to work it. You got to work on it. Even if it's learning to shut down the monkey brain, that's mm-hmm. thinking about vacuuming and why you're thinking about vacuuming instead of relaxing when it comes time for meditation, much less mm-hmm. doing dream work. So, before we get deep into the thick of things here, let's go through a little bit of the beginning of your book, which is kind of your journey into how you came into the world of dream work, because this was not something that you necessarily set out to do in life. It was something that just kind of came into your path, correct?
That's right. It became a calling. To go backwards, I was kidnapped and molested as a small child, and that led to my PTSD and my what I now call scary images rather than nightmares. But at the time, my mother thought I was saying I had nightmares, and this work led me to my own quest into why I had these nightmares, so to speak, and now I refer to as scary images, bringing me messages, bringing us all messages for our personal growth and transformation. So then through my work and following through the world of health, and I went to the School of Natural Healing, then I got involved in the Want Institute, where I got my psychological studies. But I became I was in the health industry very early on in the 80s as an herbalist, a natural healer, and then got deeper into psychology and the dream world. So that was my path and my calling. So here I am today helping people all over the country and all over the world.
And the fact that you call it a calling, I absolutely love, because I think our world has somewhat suffered with the loss of vocation like capital V, the way it was used probably when you went to school, as it ended being used right as I hit junior high. I'm like 45, but right as I hit junior high, they stopped testing people for, quote, vocational studies and stopped placing people toward vocational programs, where it was like, hey, you know, it seems like you have a mechanical inclination. Let's get you in some auto shop, some metal shop, you know, some wood shop. Get you working with your hands. And lo and behold, look at where we are as a country, where it's like, hey, where's our next generation of wrench turners coming from?
And plumbers, we need plumbers.
Yeah, like literally when things just happened with the snowpocalypse here in Texas, Patricia, like,
right,
man, I still know people waiting for plumbers. Still,
my cousin lives in Dallas, a suburb. So, yes, I'm very aware.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those like, wow, like nobody wants to do it. And do you realize how much money you make as a licensed plumber?
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
Like that's one of those jobs kind of like what I have, where it doesn't matter. You're paying me for a minimum number of hours. Like, even if I walk through the door, and I've had it happen where I walk through the door of a show at 6 a.m. and I'm dressed in my blacks and I got my briefcase, and they're like, oh, Chris, man, we forgot to tell you, we struck a video operator yesterday. You don't have to be here. And it's like, okay, send you my invoice. And I walk on out the door. I'll get my 5-hour minimum today. Thank you.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, and it's one of those, like, I don't know. Most people that I know that are plumbers, that do that kind of stuff, mechanics, they love what they do. And
that's right. Well, I love what I do, and I love the fact that people are so grateful when they finally get messages that give them a boost and a jolt forward that they can move through their life with a more positive trajectory. When they sometimes people get stuck, and and now where the messages that I'm helping decipher for them are coming through, and I'm holding up a mirror and giving them a translation, what's coming through from their own subconscious, and they go, wow, I get it. I need to go this way instead of the way I was going. So it's really, I'm helping people understand really what's coming through from themselves.
Yeah. Well, and to really crack the nut here and to start digging into this topic real quick, let's get into your work as psychoanalyst, because that really was the first step for you, correct?
Well, the first step for me was in the natural healing world when I became an herbalist, a natural healer, an iridologist, a diagnosis of the iris of the eye. So I was in the natural healing world already, alternative medicine. And then I got deep into the psychology. And then I really went down the rabbit hole and kept going through into transactional analysis. So then I became a transactional analyst.
And I think even flip-flopped, it makes more sense, the fact that you were into herbal medicine. You were into that, because that takes a lot of the diagnosis, that takes a lot of like figuring out exactly what's going on with somebody on the daily to be able to figure
it
out.
It takes a lot of instinct and intuitive ability. So I honed my skills from 1980 on. I was honing my instinct and intuitive skills. And then I became higher and higher trained and to communicate these deeper studies.
Yeah. And I think that's really important, because if you can explain for our audience real quick, because not everybody is fully familiar with the world of psychology, things like that. That was kind of my intended major in college. For me, a lot of things live in this world to begin with, where like my wife just did an interview with somebody. She does a show on improv comedy and interviews improv comedians.
Beautiful.
And this was an improv comedian from France talking about how they teach comedy and how they do comedy. And she was like, it made so much sense to me. Like the problems that I've had with students in the past and trying to explain it to them, because they use the concept of like sender receiver, you know, and it's okay if there's a passive person there just receiving. You'll be able to tell if they don't receive it well and not to go down that path of improv, you know, but you have to be in tune to that receiver at the same time.
Right.
And it's very much it's the same in this.
Right. So I have to be very in tune with the people I'm working with as to the messages that are coming up for them through them and me helping them decipher the messages so that they can have the aha moment.
Well, and explain exactly what a transactional analyst is.
Well, transactional analysis is really, if anyone has ever heard of Eric Byrne, was a psychoanalyst, a doctor in the 60s, and he developed, he was the next phase. There was Sigmund Freud, then there was Carl Jung, and Erskine, all these various people along the way, and then there was Eric Byrne, who basically took Freud and simplified it for people to understand, and for even modern psychoanalysts to understand how the psyche works with in simpler terms instead of these old-fashioned terms. So, and it's a it teaches a way of people to communicate based not based on their script that was given to them by their family, churches, schools, or whatever, but to be able to become self-evolved and decide what of those original messages that they want to keep and which ones no longer serve them. So then we go from there to develop our own individual person. And we can be individuals, not just living out a script based on something we were given.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the simple version.
it's so interesting, though, because it is it's so entirely gestalt. The idea of get over your past, get over yourself, and view the situation that you're in as an individual situation.
That's right. You know, we can go forward as individuals and not be stuck in modalities that were handed to us that no longer serve us.
Well,
so we can create our own, we can create our own future.
Yes. And manifest your own future at the same time. I mean, a prime empowering example is yourself and your story that you shared with us at the beginning of this episode, Patricia.
Absolutely.
You could have, you
there
could
you
have
go.
Lived your life in the victim modality, and rightfully so. Like with a 100% conviction, I say that rightfully so. You could have done so. You chose not
but
to.
But I've done amazing things in my life. I have. I've been a champion horse rider. I've in my history, I have a history of being the top of my game in a lot of different things. I've been a commercial actress. Like I said, I was a champion horse rider. I've had building projects.
Yeah.
So, and I've been able to have successful relationships. So here I am today to share what I've learned with people who are open, who want to learn for themselves.
Absolutely. And it really is that true example, I think, Patricia, of making sure that your glass is full enough to help others around you. You know,
there you go.
Taking,
we can share when we feel full. That's right.
That's it. And let's start getting in a little bit, because I think now that the audience understands the concept of transactional analyst, we can really start to get into the concept of dream analysis now.
Right. Well, let me just say that the dreams our dreams are kind of like a back door into our psyche, into our subconscious. And once the messages are revealed, then we can use the transactional analysis modalities to fix ourselves.
Yeah.
So the dreams are, is the entry level. It's the entrance.
Yes. And what's great is that at that point, because of the transactional analysis, you are no longer having the PTSD situation when you confront the issue from your past, that because you're holding on to it may be holding you back.
There you go. Well, we can move forward when we understand where things come from and how we were given messages or taught ways to react or behave. So we don't have to react in life. We can think. We can, first of all, we can feel what's going on. Then we can think about it. And then we can act rather than feel react.
Yeah.
So we aren't then reactive beings. We are
active,
consciously acting with consciousness, instead of just reactiveness.
Well, and that's just it. It's one thing to, and even a karate master will tell you that yes, karate reflex is great, but should you be like jujitsu flipping every person that taps you on the on the shoulder? No, you know, like you learn that restraint. You learn to tell the difference between somebody tapping you going, "Hey, buddy," and somebody going, "Hey, you got a wallet for me?" Like there literally is that intention behind the feel. And
we put the thinking in there. We slip the thinking. So
that's
feel,
just it.
Think, act.
And and typically in our society, instead of ready, aim, fire, it's ready, fire, aim. By the time we fired the shot, be it an emotional volley, what have you, we've already let it go without thinking it through.
In our work, we teach people that we want rational thinking and rational behavior rather than emotional behavior.
Yeah.
Emotional behavior is reactive, and rational behavior comes out of acknowledging your feelings, because feelings aren't negotiable. They just are. But then you think between feeling and acting.
Yeah. Yeah. And a prime way to put it, I remember my therapist, whenever I first got diagnosed with anxiety, I went through some talk therapy, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, my therapist at the time, was like, "Chris, imagine your anxiety in these situations in life is a train, and you're going down the road of your day. You could try to go through that train if you want. You could try to beat the train. Probably won't work out too well for you. But what you should probably do is slow down, realize there's a train, and just let it pass by. Acknowledge that it's passing by. But there's no reason to get angry at the train. It's just a train."
There you go.
You know, and it really is that process of letting go and being okay with letting go.
Well, do you have any dreams for me, or do you have any questions
how
we get into it?
We're about to get
into
that.
The dream work.
Exactly. Because
get into the juice. Juice is in the dreams.
Yeah, and that's just it. And our dreams are quite literally 90% of the time our brain is busy keeping us upright and making sure we're breathing and maybe eating at some point during the day, you know?
We
only process about 10% of the reality around us. So to know that we autonomically go through 90% of that, it's not that our brain didn't see it. It's that it didn't have time to process it.
And there you go.
That's kind of the root of our dreams. Yeah. Is this processing of our daily life through the filter of that script. Like you were saying, that script of our life that we've lived.
Well, the script is not the script. No, we're not scripted. And that's the beauty of the dream.
Okay.
That's where there's no judgment. That's why people say, "Oh, I have the craziest dream." Mm. That's where we are. Our authentic stuff is coming through. And it's able to come up through the subconscious mind and these abstract images and symbols and metaphors. for us to then look at, contemplate on, but hopefully be taught, which my book does. It teaches us how to decipher the dreams, and that's what I do in my work, is help people decipher the messages, the metaphors, the symbols in the dreams to say, well, oh, this doesn't really pertain to that person. That you may be dreaming of a person, but our dreams come in terms of people, nature, and things is the hierarchy. So when things come through to us in terms of things like chairs, tables, stuff, then it's at the lowest level of barely trying to eke through to us. When we start dreaming of nature stuff, then it will be landscape, trees, animals, etc. Then it's bubbling up closer to our consciousness and getting the message. When we are dreaming of people, we start to be getting, we're ready to get the message. Now, people in our dreams come in terms of male and female images, and whether somebody is old or young. Now, the people in the dreams, it's an interesting paradox. When you're dreaming of a woman, you're dreaming of your thoughts and your productivity, actually the masculine side of life. When you're dreaming of men, old men, young men, or boys, babies, we're dreaming of our feelings, our feeling centeredness. So that's what the Jungian, yes, it is interesting. So then when we're dreaming of animals, let's say, there are masculine and feminine animals, but they are. So our dreams are really coming to us in these strange metaphors, and they're to do well. That's why I would love people to share a dream with me, so yeah. I can give you an example. Do you have a dream? Someone calling in with a dream, or texting in with a dream?
I've got some for you, because there's one. Okay. And right after we booked this show, I started having it. And it happened every once in a while. I've just recently started back into my dream work. To do it regularly every single night. And like we said earlier, it's a muscle. It's a muscle memory.
Now, I will. There's a chapter in my book, chapter 7, is how to capture your dreams. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very good technique. It's really the best technique. And that is, first of all, keep a pad and pen by the bed.
Yep.
Number one, every night. And the second part is plant something in your mind before you go to sleep.
Yep.
That you want answers to.
That's exactly what I do.
I want some answers to this situation. I want, by morning, I will have the answers to this situation. Just drop it, go to sleep, and upon waking, you do not open your eyes. There is a state of consciousness between sleeping and waking, actually between waking and sleeping, but also between sleeping and waking, that lasts 3 to 4 minutes only while your eyes are closed. So if you open your eyes too soon, you're out of it.
Yeah.
So you want to keep your eyes closed for that 3 to 4 minute period upon waking. And that's where the discipline comes in. Really, you want to keep your eyes closed to capture in your mind, what did I see? Where was I? Where was the locale?
Yep.
Who was there? What was there? There was a hill. Oh, there was a car. Was it an old car? Oh, what kind of car was it? A convertible? Was it a truck? Okay.
Yeah.
Try as much
of a mental snapshot of the scene as you can take.
And scribble it down with your eyes closed. You're not trying to, do a perfect calligraphy here. Just scribble the image down. Oh, car, hill, beach, mountain, tree, whatever. Scribble those things down, and then you can tie it, because the actual story isn't the main important part. The most important part are these symbols, the images.
Yes.
Who was there? The locale. What did you see? A cat, a dog, whatever. So scribble those images down, and you will start to and then open your eyes. But try to have the discipline to hold your eyes closed for that 3 to 4 minute period while you're in the Lyman state.
And the example that I've given to people whenever they're like, how do you know you're there? You know, the way I knew was it's described this way by many in the field. It's that moment where you feel like you are literally falling as you go to sleep, where you get that pit of your stomach feeling of like zero gravity almost. And it's normally
you're
where
going
most
into your feelings.
It's normally where most people snap awake by instinct.
Yeah,
but if you can get past that fear of falling and that sensation of falling,
especially men, men and masculine women, the falling is a feeling getting into your body, your feeling centeredness. The body is your feeling centeredness, which is feminine. And most people nowadays in modern society, we're up in our heads all the day. Yeah. We're being productive. We're trying to think of what we have to do next. We're in our productive mode. We're in boom, boom, boom. We got to get this, this, and this done. We're all up in our head planning and doing this and driving here and doing this. No. So when that happens, you're allowing yourself to go into your body, which is your feeling centeredness.
Yeah.
Just go there. Allow yourself to go in, get into your body, feel your body. And that's not always comfortable in the beginning when you're first learning this work.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I've explained to the people that I years ago that asked me to kind of help them along the path was like your brain does not want to be out of control. Your brain
your prefrontal cortex. That's true. But when you allow your subconscious mind to take over, the prefrontal cortex will start to shut down and relax.
Yeah.
And that's when it does its cleansing. We really need to sleep and relax so that the brain can do its cleansing job.
Yeah.
It needs this. We need the sleep and we need to be out of that part of our brain so that it can do this. Basically, it's a detoxification and where we are paper shredding some of the stuff and the stuff that we don't need. And then the rest of it, we are collecting, categorizing, and storing for memory to be drawn upon at any time. So then we develop actually a cast of characters, like a whole costume department, like Western costume in the Hollywood. And then we have a whole nother, a central casting of all the characters. So it's stored for us to use for the plays that come through that are there to bring us messages. So we have to allow this to happen. And it's actually for our health and wellness.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. It is that escape and that slipping into the slipstream of your subconscious that lets your brain unwind and relax. And it's uncomfortable. Like we said a minute ago, it's not a comfortable sensation when you first start.
It's a very odd feeling.
But then, later when it doesn't happen, you feel strange. I've felt strange for the last 8 years of my life because I let that part go and haven't flexed that muscle in a long, long time. And now I'm trying to get back into it.
Instead of looking like flexing a muscle, I don't want to talk about it like flexing a muscle because that's masculine. So we want to let the muscle go, actually.
All right.
Like you're just ready to receive a massage.
Yeah. I guess that is a very reactionary thinking to think of it like flexing a muscle instead of just being.
No. Just be and allow it to happen, allow it to come and allow the images to come through.
Yeah.
It's an allowing of, but the only discipline is to keep your damn eyes shut when you're upon waking.
Well, and that's just it. It's those moments where you're drifting into sleep and those moments where you're coming out. And the dream I'm about to tell you is one that, like I said, right after we booked this show, I started kind of having, and then here recently, up until about a week ago, was having it regularly, almost nightly before I woke up. And some of the imagery even that you've talked about right now, like talking about young men, old men, things like that. places, environments.
They're not what you seem. Not what you seem. And people, I'd love to talk about sex dreams, but more often than not, they're not really about sex.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Although
it's not as sultry as you might think.
That's not about, typically it's not about sex. So let's have a dream. Let's have it.
Well, this dream, I'm a sailor on a submarine. And for no apparent reason on this submarine, while we are just going about daily life, every time it's literally playing a card game. We are sitting in the barracks, music is playing, and we are playing a card game, you know, smoking butts, all that kind of stuff. I guess it must be like the 1940s or 50s. You know, when they let you smoke in a submarine. But in the middle of all of it, everything goes red and starts going crazy, and we lose power in the sub and just float to crush depth.
What happens? You float up?
We just drift down to crush depth, and eventually,
oh, you drift
like
in. Okay.
As things start to crush and be destroyed is when I wake up.
Okay, well, this is interesting. Is this it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's the
well,
dream.
Let me start
like
out
all
then
of,
by saying that,
all of maybe okay. three terrifying minutes.
Okay. So that's terrifying to you. Well, let me just tell you this right off the bat. When we dream of water in our dreams, that's to do with our sexual sensual side of life, including relationships. So it's to do with our relationship thing and our sensuality and our sexual things. So, and when things are in a shape like you're describing a submarine, well, that's a phallic image. So where
really?
People are dreaming of, yes. So this dream actually is about your sexual, sensual side of life,
all right.
Which is surprising because it's really wasn't, you didn't think it was a sex dream, but in some ways it is for relationship. So at this time in your life, you're casually in your relationship and it seems everything seems fine and dandy and you're immersed in it. When you're immersed in water, you are fully immersed in your relationship. It doesn't seem scary. It seems, I have people dreaming of tidal waves and, scary waterfalls where they're going, all kinds of things. So all water images and dreams are your sensual, sexual relationship side of life.
Interesting.
So now that, so here you are, you're casually in your relationship and everyone, and by the way, in your dreams, everyone and everything is an aspect of yourself. So here you, and the other people you're, playing cards with are male figures, men.
Yes. No women on board.
Okay. So this is all about your feeling centeredness. Men in your dreams represent your feelings. So these are about your feelings. You're feeling very casual. You're feeling very, everything's copacetic. We're in my sexual, sensual relationship side of life. Everything's going fine, but all of a sudden, things are sinking and then you feel pressure. So here's where we get into the work. I say to you, what's going on in your relationship where you feel like you're getting crushed or things are going to be implode on you? So this is how it gets deep so quickly. And that's how we get to the juice.
Yeah.
So then what do you say? How do you relate that in your life? Is there, when you had this dream, what was going on in your daily life where maybe in your relationship you were feeling like things were going along fine and then all of a sudden you were feeling a little crushed or things were going to implode on you?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say implode on me, but definitely like I was telling you pre-show, my life is used to being lived on the road. My wife's life is used to me being on the road and not being in her face. 24/7.
So now there, this dream reflects that it's about your relationship. Everything's copacetic, but there are issues that come up where you feel pressure.
Yeah.
And this dream is about pressure in your, because you're saying it's going down and you're feeling pressure.
That's the is the only sensation other than the joy
that you
that's
feel
happening.
In the dream.
It goes from joy to like literally intense pressure all across my body.
There you go. But see how it reflects in your, from your subconscious mind in terms of symbols. that relate to what's going on in your life. So then you say to yourself, what can I do to alleviate this pressure? We need to talk. Honey, we need to talk. I'm feeling some pressure in our relationship. Let's talk about it. So then you meditate. I encourage people to meditate, pray, contemplate, whatever you do, to say, I'm feeling pressure in my life in this area because this dream reflected that part of life. Now, you weren't out in a field. You weren't like running up a hill, or you this was specifically about relationship stuff. So then you say, what can I do to alleviate this pressure I'm feeling? And you can get ahead of the game by understanding your dream world. You may not even be that aware that it was, but when you reflect on it in this way, you can say, shit, that's true. We got to talk about this before it goes to a depth bloat, you know, whatever you called it, you know, explode level. So you can cut things off at the pass before they actually happen.
Yeah, and before this it hits critical crush depth.
Before it hits critical pressure, your subconscious mind knows before your conscious mind knows. And that's why even in the business world, I deal with a lot of very big business people and people in Hollywood. And they really are so grateful when they start learning this work and work with them. And they say, oh, my God, I'm so far ahead of the game now because I don't wait. I don't wait till something is feels like it's attacking me. I get it. I get it so much sooner.
Yeah.
So now you have something to go on saying, well, I'm feeling pressure in this department. So it's time for me to talk to my wife and see what we can do to alleviate this pressure. And what I teach, I have tools to teach people on how to communicate to alleviate, you know, pressure in their relationships as well. Yeah. Communication skills. You know, I teach people how to communicate in ways so they can both hear each other.
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother level of teaching. Call me sometime, make an appointment at the Patricia at Patricia Elton's at the dreamclass.com. Dreams at the dreamclass.com. But this is how we get into it. This is how we get into our psyche. And it's not so scary because our dream world is bringing it to us in metaphors that we can accept and not be judgmental. If it was straightforward, we would resist it and not see it. Yeah. This way, the whole picture is there. And you weren't judgmental. You just said, oh, I'm feeling, look at this. You told me the whole scenario. And this is what I like to teach too. I like to teach people to watch the dream like they're watching a movie with no judgment and no interference. Just try to, and then write it down. And that way it's pure. You have not put anything on it that is judgmental or try to alter it. There are certain times when I teach children with PTSD or whatever intervene for the most part, the healthiest thing to do is to watch the dream like a movie and then jot down the symbols and see what the scenario is trying to tell us.
Yeah. Well, and of course, like you're saying, there are extreme circumstances where, you tell people to take the Freddy Krueger advice and like, you know, confront the monster and take care of it, you know, but that's a pretty rare circumstance. And even myself through my past dream work. And like I said, shortly before we booked this interview, I had restarted my nightly dream work and really just trying to get to the point of finding my path, the path that I used to walk down thinking about something as I went to sleep. You know, it was literally a mental path that I built and like mentally hacked my way through the forest every night until I found the area to sit in, you know, to go to sleep in my mind. So it took a little bit of work to retrim that path, but we're there now and things like the submarine dream are happening. And really the
beautiful dream.
My interpretation of it was quite the same. I did not see the sexual connotation of water. I did not understand that, but I do mm-hmm. now. So one mm-hmm. more tool in my belt. But for me, it was quite literally because
it's all in the book, Christopher. It's all in the book. Yeah, I talk about the symbols. I talk about great. How you can relate to the symbols and how you can decipher them. And I lay it out in a very understandable yeah. way. So yeah. you can start to get it. And I really suggest people read one chapter at a time
yeah.
and just digest it. Really hold on to what you, because it seems you don't read it like a book or like a novel. You read it one chapter at a time because it's a, and then you can use it as a reference after that.
Yeah.
Then you can leaf through it when you want to catch a piece here and there and refresh your memory.
Yeah.
But one chapter, digest it, absorb it, and you'll get some, you'll get some wows.
I view books like yours as instruction manuals. And the idea
yes.
behind an instruction manual is to follow through chapter one and do the steps and then go back
yes.
and repeat chapter one.
Great.
To make sure that
Beautiful.
Those steps are like in your head. Because, hey, man, that's how you start the machine. If you don't know how to start the machine every time, we're going to have a real issue in chapter 3 and 4 when it comes to operating said machine. You know what I mean?
It's a schematic. It's a
so,
schematic,
yeah,
yes.
quite literally, this book, I mean, even the pages that I have up right now from the PDF, the Eaton sent me, or mm-hmm. Eitan. Absolutely amazing when it starts literally just breaking down bit by bit the parts of the mind, the brain, the, you know, what consciousness wow. is, desensitization, ego dystonic, all these things that are just so integral to A, understanding yourself as a person. And B, mm-hmm. understanding the process of releasing that control and releasing yourself from even the want of control.
Right, right.
Because that's really the biggest part is releasing yourself from even wanting to control a situation.
Right.
Once
now, the book also is got 22 of my personal photographic dreamlike images. So it's also a gorgeous book on top of it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful book that invites you to want to keep it out for people to rifle through.
Well, and the books like this are quite literally my coffee table books. These are what
Beautiful.
Occupy my studio shelf, all that kind of stuff. This is you can ask anybody that I am on show site with on the regular. These are the topics of conversation, like at the lunch table.
I love that.
This is just all the stuff that I talk about, period. I refuse to go
love
through life
it.
Without at a minimum exposing people to this truth.
Beautiful.
Into this understanding.
Beautiful.
And like
beautiful.
I've come to interpret and beginning to interpret a lot of my dreams through the lens of my anxiety. And like I was saying about that water dream, the fact that I am immersed in something, but I'm immersed in something and surrounded and protected at the same time. So it is something that I care so much about that I've taken precaution.
Right. You're immersed in it, but you're still your subconscious mind is acknowledging
yeah.
the pressure.
Yeah. And that's just it. For me, it was there's much like my anxiety attacks. I normally talk
mm-hmm.
myself out of my anxiety attacks partway through them by backtracking it to what did I care so much about that when it went awry, it set me off kilter. It set me
You'll get
balance.
Ahead of it. You'll have less anxiety when you start getting deeper into this work and heading it off at
yeah.
the path. You'll
yeah.
see it coming before it hits you this way. You'll see it this way before it hits you.
Well, and that's just it. Like I said, to have this dream repetitively, it was one of those like your brain and your connection to the universe around you will literally shoot up flares. Whenever I used to teach religion and spirituality to teenagers, I would explain it to them like, you got all the choices in the world, the paths, but the universe will literally put hurdles in your way of the path that you are not supposed to be on. It is your own stubbornness that's like, no, I want to be there. And it's like, hey.
Willfulness.
Yeah, it is willful, like, disregard. Quite literally, like, the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, is literally throwing trucks in your path. Like, no, don't
do
that.
Well, God and the universe is giving us these beautiful, beautiful messages nightly.
Yeah, so precisely. Precisely.
Let it rip.
And you know, another one. And this was not a repetitive dream, Patricia, but it was one that I had when I was deep in the midst of my dream work. When I had like built my crystal castle at the end of my path, with mm-hmm. my temple inside, and where mm-hmm. I went and like conferred with people that I met, things like that. Like we had gone mm-hmm. to a beautiful, amazing place mm. with this skill.
Beautiful.
Getting past that fear of falling, as I was saying, mm-hmm. and enjoying mm-hmm. that and letting it happen and going mm-hmm. With intent.
Well, once you start realizing what's happening, there's less fear. Once you say, oh, I'm just getting into my feeling centeredness, and that's okay. I'm getting out of my head and I'm into my body. Oh, now I'm feeling my body. Okay, I'll feel my body. And you allow yourself to get out of your head.
Yeah, precisely. And for me, it was getting to that point that took a little bit of time. It is for everybody. But once
well,
I was
especially
there,
men, especially
yeah.
men.
Oh, yeah. No, we are as hard headed to the universe and its ways as you could possibly get. Possibly.
Well, you were designed that way. You know, mm-hmm. men and women are designed differently. Our brains
Absolutely.
Are a little bit different, but there's a whole science behind that too.
Well, survival for millennia made us this way.
That's right. So in the meantime, this is how we can learn to handle it and learn to go there. It's just a learned skill.
Yeah. And this dream that I'm about to tell you was one of those that happened in that mid-drift. I'd had numerous times in my life where I had had very active dreaming. I'd had a couple of times where I had shared dreaming with people,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which was pretty wild. And a few times where I definitely saw things before they were going to happen. And when they happened in mm-hmm. the world, it was like, oh, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like mm-hmm. definitely one of those like Mandela effect moments where it's like, whoa, have I been in this moment in time before?
Mm-hmm.
And just,
okay,
just
let's have
wild.
It.
So this dream was me laying in a library and books as high as you could see completely surrounding me. Mm-hmm. And I started hearing my grandfather, the namesake of my son, singing and playing accordion in Cajun.
Mm-hmm.
And as I looked around for my grandfather, I could not find him anywhere. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, in the middle of the library, while hearing the music, I saw the patio door and the beach of the room that I was sleeping in. Like mm-hmm. quite literally in the room, a moment of what typically ends up for me being a night terror.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just
mm-hmm.
put it that way. That's typically the root of my night terrors is mm-hmm. where like I am physically awake and cannot move. And there's something going mm-hmm. on in the world around me that's still in the dream mm-hmm. state.
Mm-hmm.
But this
right,
was,
that's called sleep paralysis, but that's a normal state.
Yeah.
We are all in sleep paralysis.
Absolutely.
when we're sleeping, but as we are coming through to the next stage upon waking, we start coming out of it, but then our body is still in a bit of sleep paralysis. Otherwise, we'd all be running around like maniacs within our dream world. So the mind does that. It shuts all the other stuff down and puts us into a bit of a paralysis so that we can, our brain can do its job. So anyway, so you're starting to come around after you're in this room with all the books and you hear the auditory of your grandfather singing the Cajun music.
Yep.
And then at
that point, my girlfriend stepped into the picture and mm-hmm. brought me to, because I was apparently thrashing about and crying and all kinds of stuff.
When the grandfather was singing the music, then it went from you were still in the dream state and you saw a door open and then there was a beach there.
Yeah, yeah. Like the actual room that I was sleeping in and the patio door and the beach mm-hmm. outside. Like mm-hmm. I saw the real mm-hmm. world while the dream
but
was still actively going on around
me. But it was the dream, though. This was the dream you were dreaming too.
No, no, no. That was the actual real world. It was the wildest thing in the world. It was crazy.
Wait a second. You were still in the dream state
yes.
when you saw that image of the door opening up.
Yes. So it was like, okay. I could almost like the light at the end of the tunnel. I could see the real world and see the door to the
patio. You were in the dream state dreaming
yeah.
that, though.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So you're still in the dream state. Okay. Well, when you have books all around you, and this is why dreams are very individual and books to you. What are books to you? I want to ask you specifically, what do books mean for you?
Same thing I was doing with my dreams. It's the search for knowledge.
So that's you. That's very according to you. Okay. It's for your personal growth. So you're surrounding yourself with items of personal growth in your mind. That's why dreams are very individual. Somebody else might be dreaming of books and they might think they're in hell because they hate reading.
Yeah,
but for
yeah.
you, it's knowledge. So I really like to get to the individual's take on what that is for them. So you're surrounding yourself in your life with knowledge for your personal growth. And then you get this blasting open. But you hear the Cajun sound you are hearing is part of your script. It's
oh, yeah.
still coming through. Their script still coming through, ancestral script coming through. Now, how much of it you want to keep or not is still, but you still have, it's showing to me that you still have some essence of script. Now, was your grandfather, did someone you knew?
He is probably hands down the greatest influence in my life, aside from a couple of personal mentors or spiritual directors along the way.
Okay.
When I was a kid, he was the one that got me.
Okay. Well, so that's very interesting. So you keep that with you. He, in this instance,
my son has his
spiritual guide. I understand. So this is this music that you're hearing is part of your spiritual guide that is always with you. And so you have that. You possess that. Your spiritual guide is coming through in your dream world is the music you're hearing. But that just means he's with you all the time. The influence that he gave you is with you all the time. Not that he is, but I'm saying his influence.
Yeah, yeah.
And so as the door to your daily life, I don't like to say real life because to me dreams are real life too,
yeah.
but your daily life is blasted open after you've surrounded yourself by your knowledge and your quest for knowledge and did that. But it seems like in the dream that frightened you somehow. Am I right? Did I get that right? You felt frightened by that?
It was not the dream or the experience. It was the not finding. It was the not finding that frightened me. It was like I was clawing. I'm sorry. I'm actively like worked up right now into tears. It was like I was clawing my way through the aisles of the library, trying to find my way. To the music.
Trying to find your way to the music. Oh, to the music. You were trying. Okay. Well, in this instance, you're surrounding yourself with all this knowledge and everything, but you're clawing your way to go back to to just hang on to script. But maybe I will say to you that maybe the influence was enough and you don't have to claw your way back to it.
Yeah.
It's already embedded in you. So you don't have to strive to find that anymore because it has already done its job for you. The influence your grandfather gave to you, and was it all positive influence, every bit of it?
I don't remember any sour times at all with my grandfather.
Okay.
Ever.
But nevertheless,
either one of them.
What I'm saying is, you don't need to keep clawing because it's there. The essence of it has already been embedded. It's in you. The fact that you, especially when you have auditory sounds in our dreams, it's with you, and there's no need to claw anymore to find it.
And
it's already with you. So when did you, the fact that you were clawing to try to find it, when did these doors open up and you said it was like all of a sudden it blew open?
I heard at the time, my girlfriend Jennifer, I heard her voice calling my name. And
as I turned around,
that's when I saw the patio door and the vertical blinds and the beach and the swaying beach grass and everything else.
So she, in reality, she was calling you in real life.
Yeah. Cause I was thrashing about in the bed and calling out loud, things like that.
Okay. You were calling out loud because you were trying to go backwards.
Yeah.
You were trying to go back to another time, and there's no going back, Christopher. There is no going back.
Yeah, no.
Whatever influence you had from your grandfather, you had it already, and you have it, and you can't go back to it. There's no going back. You got it. It's infused in you already. The music is indicative of the influence. So the music is already infused in you of his messages and whatever that part was. But you might want to meditate on it and see, were there other things about him or his messages
at the time? Mm-hmm. I was living in Maine. My family is all here from Texas. We are a very, very close Cajun family. My cousin Heidi, who is all of a year or so behind me in school, we were like brother and sister growing up. Like, I have a picture up above my workbench over here of me wearing her clothes and her wearing mine, like when we were like 8 years old. Hilarious stuff.
Craving this old fashioned or this influence. Craving your roots for some reason.
Well, she had been diagnosed with hyperaggressive breast cancer, and I was not able to go home
at the time. At the time of this dream.
So, yeah, like, it makes perfect sense to me now, what you're saying, and that craving and that looking for that. That was definitely part of my script of family guilt playing out for not being able to be there for my cousin.
You couldn't get back to her.
Yeah.
You couldn't get back to her. So I always ask people, what was going on at the time of the dream? Don't wait 3 years later to tell me a dream. Y'all, you can. But because you were desperately feeling you needed to be back with family and your roots.
Yeah.
So there was this thing about being with your roots. You felt it calling you, like the essence calling you, and you couldn't get there.
Yeah.
So I get that. So what did you end up doing at the time? You couldn't get there.
After my cousin passed, was the point that I had pretty much decided at that point, I will be moving home. I will be going back to Texas.
Was an impetus for you to know what you needed to do for you.
It
was going to make you happier in the long run.
Yeah.
And that was to come back to more of your roots.
And we had listener Brittany Lammy here on Facebook, she has had a dream nearly six nights a week that dinosaurs are chasing her since she was nine.
Mm.
She finds safety at the Museum of Natural Science and Industry behind the giant concrete walls in Tampa in her dream. Her mom always said she would grow out of it, but she is almost 30 years old. What would you say to that, Patricia?
Well, when we have repetitive dreams, especially when they are scary images, because all our dreams wish us well, even when we have scary images.
Yeah.
And repetitive dreams are happening because the issue is unresolved. So we need to get deep into that issue, and I can always be reached at dreams@thedreamclass.com. And my website is thedreamclass.com. But the repetitive dreams really are trying to say, beat you over the head with, let's find out what it is going on. And we can dig into that sometime, but I don't have the real person to really go back and forth and get into it. But dinosaurs, those are, and how old the person has been having this for 30 years. We could get into a lot of things with what was happened to her 30 years ago or more that frightened her, or that she was feeling overwhelmed by or overpowered by. And I can get very deep into that. I mean, that I personally was kidnapped and molested. So I had to get deep into my dream world to understand what happened and how I felt about it and how I managed managed for years without ever telling an adult what happened to me. The police found me, but nobody ever got to the bottom of the whole incident because I was like out of my mind, and I really it didn't. The dreams kept bringing it forward to me for years as a child, until I got deep into the psychology and things like that more till I was an adult, basically.
Was it almost a regressive therapy for you?
Not regressive. No, I did actually. I did some EMDR work, which was designed for a PTSD. Mm. But I got deep into my studies. I just wanted to know. So that's how I got into my quest of studies. But I would go into this with someone to get back to their childhood or whenever this dream started, when these scary dreams started with dinosaurs, and what feels overwhelming and why they have these very masculine images that are frightening.
Well,
so, like I said, everything in dreams is either masculine or feminine images, and there's different aspects to masculine and feminine. So these are scary masculine images, and we can go deep, but I have to interact with somebody
absolutely to
get to the bottom of it.
Well, and even our conversation of my two dreams this evening, it's knowing that background and knowing what's going on presently. And what
That's
the frame
right.
of mind was, because like we were saying, just to loop it back to the beginning of the conversation, it really is an unfiltered, your dreams are an unfiltered processing of
That's right.
everything going on according to your script, you know,
That's
or according
right.
of what to whatever script you allow to exist in your life.
Until it's finished, until it's cleaned up.
Absolutely.
It will persist until you clean it up.
Yeah.
And you can't just clean it up by masking it with Mm-mm. drugs or mind-altering chemicals.
Or, unfortunately,
you have to do the
Brittany,
work.
By hiding behind giant concrete walls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, granted, you know, without knowing Brittany, her life, her situation, mm-hmm. any kind of psychoanalysis, just looking at that right now, there are two things that stand out. Reptiles, which are a pretty big sign. Frequently of healing, oddly, right? Like, at least with snakes, that kind of stuff. That's normally like a process of healing and self-healing, correct?
Well, no, not necessarily. Those particular dinosaurs are first of all, they're ancient, extinct animals. So these are very old feelings of fear of the masculine side of life. So there's something that went down that I would want to get into with her. What triggers it when she has the dreams now, something in the present day life. Maybe she's hiding behind walls. I would ask her, are you in a relationship? Are you afraid of relationships? Do relationships scare you? Do you hide? Do you run away when you start to do, who scares you? You know, what triggers it today that is triggering an old feeling that from
yeah.
past?
Yeah. Is there even somebody at work that triggers an old feeling from the past? Something like that that you're exposed to in the daily realm. You know,
and something can trigger you, and it doesn't mean for you. We learn through this work that you don't have to avoid that necessarily. You need to clean up the stuff from the past and understand it, so that your past doesn't have to affect your future.
And it can quite literally be something as simple as your dad used to drive you to school when you was a youngin, and he had a road rage issue, and now every time you go to work in the morning and get stuck in traffic, you have this PTSD moment.
You got it.
You put up your walls when you were a kid in the car, like you opened your science book, whatever, to get dad's railing out of your head. You know, and that's your wall. That's your safety net. You know, like it could be something as simple as that, or it could be something as harrowing as what happened to you in life. You know, like it depends on the situation and the person.
Yeah. So what we want to do is get people to be able to handle daily life and not have to hide and not have to metaphorically hide behind walls, but to face daily life with confidence and courage.
Yeah.
And we teach people how to face the dinosaurs until they shrink. And eventually the dinosaurs can shrink and turn into like little lizards, little geckos, and run off into the bushes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, represent that healing reptile that can occur in dreams, you know, you know, because like snakes occur in my dreams regularly. And that's one of those symbols where it's like you may think it's a scary thing, but it's really not. It's like it's a symbol of change in your life.
It depends on the person. If the person's ever been bit by a snake, they're going to be afraid of snakes.
That's true.
So it's very individual, individual. So what I teach is so personalized. It really is.
Well, and once again, tell everybody where they can go, because, of course, thedreamclass.com is the website that we have been showing up on screen throughout the show. But tell everybody once again the email that they can go to personally contact you, Brittany, if you're still listening and tuned in, where they can go to schedule sessions, where they can go to learn this kind of stuff and maybe even find a mentor of their own in the world of dream
That's
work.
Right. Well, I'm a great mentor, and if somebody wants to organize their own group, I do groups, and you can be. I do Zoom groups for people's personal groups they put together, and so they can hire me for a Zoom group. And my website is thedreamclass.com. My email is dreams@thedreamclass.com. And I love it when people order the book on Amazon and write me a 5-star review that boosts my image. And that's the best you can do is order the book and order or get me to do a group with you and your friends.
You know, that is actually a great idea to possibly even get some. I would love to have you on again. We are, of course, thankful. Thank you to you this evening. We are well over our typical 1 hour. I know that we've got like 10 minutes at the top of the show, but
beautiful.
My God, the information that you have given people this evening on the in-depth world of dream work is unfathomable. It is so useful, so incredibly life changing. I am even leaving this interview tonight with two new interpretations of dreams that have really been on my mind a lot lately. Like I said,
good,
one of them
good,
that
good.
That true experience The other, a reoccurring dream. The experience was one of those that, much like the shadow person I saw at the end of my bed, things like that, they have just steeled me in life. You know, they have just changed the paradigm and the way in which I view the world and the universe around me and my part in it. So, thank you so much for sharing this information tonight. How can somebody go about getting private sessions with you? Somebody like Brittany or someone like that?
Brittany can contact me, or any of you can contact me. dreams@thedreamclass.com. And my name is Patricia L. Tinge. And you will get a hold of me, email me, ask me questions about your personal session, getting a personal session, or creating a group session with your friends. And we can go from there.
Fantastic. Well, please do hold the line while we close things out, Patricia. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing this information. It really is life transformational to know this stuff. So once again, thank you so much for taking all the time this evening. And you are fully welcome back on the show. Do hold the line while we close things out. While you are online checking out all of the great work of Patricia L. Tinge over at thedreamclass.com, as well as purchasing her book from the Dudes and Beer store or from Amazon, make sure to stop on by dudesandbeer.com. Get the free app. That's where you can get all the episodes. Stop on by, check it out. dudesandbeer.com/app for all you Android users out there. Coming soon for all of you orchard dwellers. Until next time, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and if you can't be good at it, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.